So today we're going to talk about fasting. Everybody's favorite thing. If you've ever had blood taken, they tell you fast. You know, stop eating at 6 o'clock and come in and, you know, you're famished and you want to hurt people. And you know, that's our understanding of fasting. But the Bible has a really great lesson about fasting. So I had never experienced that growing up. So I was raised Catholic, and we just, you know, if people did that in the Catholic Church, that wasn't me. So I had no idea what that was. And when I came to Christ and became a born-again Christian, I started to understand or hear about fasting. And so last week I told you about when we started the outreach center downtown. And I told you about that girl under the light. Remember that story? So for those of you that don't know, we opened up the Daytona Outreach Center. This is 20-some years ago, down on North Street, on Ridgewood and North Street, right where all the homeless folks are. So if you ever drive down there, you'll see this crowd of people around this thing they call the J Store, which is a convenience store down there. And we had the little yellow building across the street. So we had gotten the building. This is another part of this whole story. We had gotten that building. We had gotten the keys to it. And we were starting to do outreach. We were starting to do ministry. And we're trying to figure this out. We had no idea. Like, okay, we're here. What do we do? You know, none of us had actually planned out, what do you do once you get the building? We're going to reach homeless people. Okay, what does that look like? We had no idea. We just knew that God was calling us to start helping people and preaching his word on the streets of Daytona. And we were faithful to that. We got out there and we did it. But now we needed to figure out what ministry looked like in this moment. What did it look like to go down there and talk to somebody about Christ that was living under a bush? How do you help those folks? What is it that they need beyond the physical needs? We could address that. You need food, you need some clothing, you need some help maybe getting off the street or a way to collect mail or whatever it was. We could figure all that out, but what were the spiritual needs that we were trying to address? So Ray, the guy that was in charge of this whole thing, said, you know what, as a group, this was a Sunday evening meeting that we were doing. We got together and we were, again, talking about this. He said, let's fast. We'll get back together again, spend time in prayer, and see what God is calling us to do. Sounded great. And then he told us, let's fast. We'll get together next Sunday. Wait, you don't want me to eat for a week? And everybody was in, these were all great, experienced, seasoned believers, and I'm kind of the new guy. And they all, we're going to fast for this week, and we'll get together again next Sunday, and we'll see what God's calling us to do. I had no idea what I was in for. But I knew that I couldn't go 3 hours without getting grumpy. So this was going to be a long week for the people around me. And I just honestly didn't think it was possible. I mean, I'd read about it in the Bible. I'd read about Jesus fasting and other people fasting. And people had told me stories about it. But I just really, honestly, kind of blew it off like, that can't possibly be. So the next morning I got up and had a breakfast of nothing. And I went to work. Now, I was the only one in the group of the four of us that were starting this that actually had a full-time job. Everybody else was working at the center full-time. And so I was working, I went to work, and that afternoon I went to lunch, and there was a park behind where I worked, so I went back there and I took my Bible and I spent some time in prayer and just spent some time just spending time with God in a beautiful place and enjoyed it. And I got through the first day. It was miserable. I'm not going to lie to you, it was absolutely miserable not having any food for that whole day. But I went to bed that night and I slept, and it was okay. I got up the next day and I did it again. And I did it again, and I did it again. And Friday came, and I only had to work half a day, and I was going to go to the center. I was going to go down to the outreach center and see how everybody was doing. And now I had not eaten since Sunday evening. I had spent time in prayer and fasting. I had spent time getting closer to God, and I was amazed. First of all, after the first day, it got really pretty easy. Not easy. But it wasn't quite so miserable. But more importantly, I felt more connected to God in that time than I had in a long, long time. I really was feeling God and I were right there. It was like he was sitting on that bench right next to me, talking to me. And I was starting to get a clear vision of what it was that we were supposed to do in outreach. What is it that God is calling us to do? What are we supposed to do for these folks that are out here on the streets? How can we help them? And so Friday, I got off of work, and I went to the center. I pulled up on my motorcycle. I parked it. I walked inside, and the first person I ran into was Ray, and he's standing there with a big plate of food. Thought we were fasting. He said, yeah, I made it about a day and a half. Then I ran into his wife, and I walked into her, and she's like, oh, I didn't even try. I made it about a half a day. Turned out I was the only one that actually fasted. But what was great about it was not, all right, it was kind of funny. I'm like, I walked right across to the J store. They had a hot deli counter there and got the biggest plate of food I could find and ate and did nothing else for the rest of the day. But what I learned out of that was that fasting was not about doing the actual work of, you know, not eating for a specific time. It was literally about me connecting to God in a new and wonderful way. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to go to Matthew 6. And, all right, I got told again that I can't walk over here. Backstage, they were looking at me, and Cliff walked by me. He goes, okay, it's all yours. Turn left. He kept telling me to go. So when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So that's the start of it. Right now, you know, we've been talking about the hypocrite. Again, we talked about the face, the actors, people that were putting on a show for the whole world. Oh, I'm hungry. You know, if I had gone into work every day and gone, oh, I'm fasting, I can't eat anything. The Bible says that I would have already received my reward. People would have seen that and said, oh, poor Ron. He's just, look at the way he's sacrificing. Look at what he's doing. And Jesus was saying it's not about that. It's not about outward appearances. It's not about doing something for other people. It's not about putting on a show. But it literally is about connecting with God, because God sees what we do in secret. So I titled this next section, "You Want Me to Do What?" Talking about fasting. Why is it that we are going to fast? Why is it that God is calling us to this moment? And really, what is it that he's doing? So we look at the Bible, of course. We always go to our source when we want to find out what it is that we're doing. And I'm a big advocate. I firmly believe, and I know a lot of you have been in church for your entire lives, and that's a wonderful thing. But we also need to recognize that there are people that are pretty new to church. You know, we accept these churchy terms. Well, what is fasting? What is tithing? You know, all these, you know, what is meditation? What are all these churchy words, and what do they mean? And we accept them because we've heard them our entire lives. We may have experienced those things and done those things. But there are also people in our midst that are relatively new to faith, or they're just coming to faith right now. Maybe they've never walked foot in a church. We do have people like that in our church as part of our congregation that literally, as a matter of fact, I baptized a man a couple of weeks ago. Never walked into a church in his life, but his mother had been praying that he get saved. And he drove by on his way to work, drove by Tomoka. And finally one day, he said, it was like somebody just said in the back of my head, that's the place, go turn in there and go. And he sat down and found faith and got baptized and is now getting plugged in. Thank God. Praise God. But we need to recognize that those guys exist, and he probably doesn't know what fasting means. He might think it's a race car. So there are different kinds of fasts in the Bible. The first is a full fast, and that means no food. Like I did for the first 4.5 days. So we saw that in the Bible. If we go back and we look, we see Elijah fleeing Jezebel. So Elijah was a prophet of God. He stood up before 400 prophets of Baal, which is basically Satan. and stood them down and taunted them and put it to the test. And God came through and he had slayed those 400 men. He faced 400 men on his own, all by himself. And the queen, Jezebel at the time, said, you know what? She was a Baal worshiper. She said, because of what you did, I'm going to kill you. So he ran from her. He didn't run from the 400 guys, but he ran from her, disappeared into the desert, and hid, and was depressed, and said, God, just let the world cave in on me. I don't want it. But he fasted for 40 days. 40! That's insane. Paul did it after his conversion. So we know that the Apostle Paul, after he was converted, he was a religious Jew, and he was persecuting the church, and God met him. Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you attacking me? I'm God. Why are you attacking me? Instantly, when he got up on his feet, he was blinded. He couldn't see a thing. He couldn't talk. But he didn't eat for 3 days until his sight was restored. Again, a time to grow into a relationship with God, the God that he obviously never really knew. In Deuteronomy, Moses talks about it, Deuteronomy talks about it with Moses. He went up on the mountain and disappeared for 40 days. I see a pattern here. And now these are full fasts. And if you've ever seen where the mountain was that he went up on, it's in the middle of the desert. So there's nothing growing around him, and there's even less on that mountain. There was no food, there was no water, and he spent 40 days up there, one-on-one with God. And then, of course, we can always look at Jesus. Luke 4 tells us that after his baptism, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and was taken to the desert, where he spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting in preparation for the temptation that was to come. So that's a full fast. That's nothing or water. No drinks, no Gatorade, no energy bars on the side, nothing. The next is a partial fast, and we've all heard about the Daniel diet. That was really popular a few years ago, the Daniel diet. And all it is Daniel said, I can't partake in what has been given to me as far as fancy foods. I don't want the meat. I don't want all the fancy desserts or anything like that. Just give me vegetables. Just give me nuts. And so he kept things simple in honor of God. He wasn't going to take what was given him or was offered to him and deny his God. So that's a partial fast. And those are good too. But then the last thing is fasting with things other than food. Now, there's some debate in theological circles as to whether or not that really counts as a fast, because everywhere that the Bible talks about fasting directly, it talks about food. But there is the part in Acts, I get to cheat. Nope, 1 Corinthians, where Paul talks about a couple abstaining from intimacy for a while so that they can concentrate on their relationship with God. But it's only for a little while so that they can come back. So that's things other than, and we see this all the time. I mean, there's times that we need to be separated from some of the things of this world. I've seen people turn off social media for a while, or completely if they're really smart. I've seen people get away from the internet at all, or TV, or name it. Some of the luxuries of life that distract us from our relationship with God. And again, it's always about bringing things back to, do I get to spend time with my God, with my Father in heaven? So those are the types of fasting that we see in the Bible and things that we can start to emulate, things that we can start to copy. But why are we doing it? What is the real purpose for doing these things? Why should I step aside? Why should I go, okay, I won't eat anything for a week, and I'm going to concentrate on this instead? You see, it's two things. One, it's a distraction. I don't know about you, but I love food. Right? Sorry, I guess that one was obvious. But I love food, and I love spending time cooking and eating and maybe not cleaning up. Marty will yell at me for that. But that is a big part of my life. As a matter of fact, I get to brag. You know what I've had 4 times in the last 2 days? Mexican food. We had it for dinner the night before, and we had leftovers, and then we had it for lunch yesterday when a bunch of us went out. We had leftovers. I'm telling you, it's like heaven. But it's a distraction because it's spending all that time. And part of what we do when we fast is saying, I'm going to take all of this as a sacrifice to God. I'm going to put it aside. And I'm going to spend time one-on-one with Him and use that time in prayer. Use that time trying to grow closer to my God in a way that I couldn't do with all the distractions of the world. So it's sacrifice to God. Sometimes we do it out of repentance. We can spend time in a fast, and it doesn't even have to be a long time or maybe, you know, food necessarily. But whatever it is, it's a time to say, you know what, I'm going to set this aside. I've known guys, all right, I'm a counselor, marriage counselor, and there have been men that have come into our church that have had issues with pornography. And that phone is a deadly, deadly thing for those guys. It's hard. It's really hard. Because it's right there. You know, 20 years ago or whatever, before we were all carrying smartphones, they would have had to go to the store and buy a magazine or do something other than that. Now they can literally just get on their phone and look at it. And to abstain from that as a form of repentance, to abstain from alcohol because it's become a problem in my life and say, I want to set this aside. Or, I've really drifted far from God, and I need to just spend some time with my God. The other reason that we can do it is for guidance or direction. That's what we were doing down at the Outreach Center. We were looking for God's direction. We were looking for God's, just the word. Say, hey, do this. Something simple. And so we seek guidance and direction. And sometimes the word of God or the voice of God gets a little clogged up or a little cloudy because of all the distractions in the world. I can tell you flat out, I'm in the back while worship is going on out here. If I'm getting ready to preach, I'm in the back and I'm sitting there and I'm praying. But if Michael belts out really well, because, I mean, come on, he's incredible, right? If he really belts out a song that I love, I'm gone. I'm distracted. Doesn't take much. Yes, adult versions of ADD do exist, and it doesn't take much to get me off. The other reason that we can do it is just for passionate prayer. The time that I get to spend with God in prayer, just communing with my Creator, it restores me, it refreshes me, it invigorates me. And if I do that, I mean, honestly, prayer has changed so much for me over the years to that, from not knowing what I was praying to or why. But that time of passionate prayer, and again, when I was sitting on those park benches and just praying, just reading the Word of God, it was one of the most connected moments I had ever had. And I didn't understand it, but I liked it. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need to just set aside some time, get rid of the distractions, and just spend time with our Creator. The next one is humbling our heart to grow closer to God. Kind of the same thing. But again, there may be something in me that needs to be burned out. Maybe there's some pride. Maybe there's some ambition that's getting in my way of being of service. Whatever that is, I'm getting rid of that so I can spend time with God. I love this. 2 Chronicles 20 talks about King Jehoshaphat. Jumping Jehoshaphat. I cannot read his name without saying that. He faced an invasion. He was the king of Israel. He was the leader of the Jews. And he was looking at them and going, we're going to get invaded, and they've got a lot more people than we do. We're in trouble. And so he called his people to a time of prayer and fasting. God, help us to know you, to get closer to you. And again, remember last week when we were talking about prayer, this is not an attempt to change the mind of a reluctant God. It never is. Prayer is not a time for us to go, God, please change your mind, please change your mind, please change your mind. It's for us to connect to him and get ourselves aligned with his will. Always. Always. And then the safe journey. Sometimes something's coming up. Maybe it is a physical journey. Maybe it's a spiritual journey. Maybe it's time to change things around. We had to, and I may be speaking out of turn, if I am, so I'm sorry, but we had to make the decision to close the Bunnell campus. And it was a heartbreak. It was a heartbreak for everyone involved. It was a heartbreak for the people that were there as that being part of their church, or their church. It was a heartbreak for the people here that serve in that community. It was a heartbreak for the elders to make that decision. And as part of that, we fasted and sought the face of God and asked his direction for that. That journey that we're on, that change in the ministry that we're doing here at Tomoka and elsewhere was impactful, and we knew that it really needed to be bathed in prayer and given over to God. And so we fasted. Ezra did it in the book of Ezra, chapter 8. It talks about Ezra getting his people to pray as they were getting ready to return from exile into Jerusalem for a safe journey. So that was a physical prayer that they, or a physical danger that they were facing and they were going after. So what is fasting not? It's not a diet to improve your health. All right? I mean, it can be. You're more than welcome to do that, but don't call that a spiritual fast, because it's not. I have to tell you the truth, though. When I did that 5 days without food, I lost like 20 pounds. And I'm thinking, oh, this is a benefit. No, it was just a side, you know, it was an effect. So not to lose weight, not to improve your health. It's not a means to absolve ourselves of guilt of sin. We do not gain God's favor for what we have done wrong because we fast. Salvation comes only and completely through the blood of Christ. Amen? Believers in Jesus, amen? Amen? All right. So we know that that's where our absolution from sin comes from. We know that our forgiveness comes from the cross and from an empty grave, an empty tomb, not because of what we do. But so often when we have been caught in sin, we think, well, I gotta do something to make it up. I gotta serve more, or I'll start a prayer group. Or I'll start reading my Bible more, or I'll go on a fast. Brothers and sisters, you cannot, we cannot earn the favor of God. We cannot earn the salvation or the forgiveness of our sins. We can't make God love us any more. We can't make God love us any less. That was solved for us on the cross. We rest in the blood of Jesus. Solely and completely. So we don't do anything to try to absolve ourselves of our sin. This one's really weird. A way to punish or maltreat the body. So there were people that think that if they mistreat their body, I don't know if you've ever seen this, as a way of penance. I believe it's in the Philippines. Towards Easter time, these guys will walk down the street with palm fronds beating themselves. I have no idea what they're trying to prove. But it's not. There's no way that you can punish yourself for your sins. All we can do is, again, hand them over at the foot of the cross to Jesus. A hunger strike to make a statement. So this is going right into what Jesus said in Matthew 6, where he said, Don't do this to show off to everybody else. You know, we hear about hunger strikes, people going on hunger strikes. That's fine. Go do that. But don't claim it's anything for God, because that it's not. A demonstration of your holiness to others. Now, we all know these people. I'll let you judge. But look how holy I am. Look at what I'm doing. Look at me. I'm over here. I'm serving here. Or look at me. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm going to get in the food bank and start throwing cans. Look how holy I am. And again, it's never a technique to earn God's favor. So, when I was a kid, all right, I was raised up at the very beginning of the video game era. So when I was a young teenager, Atari was out and all these games that you could take home, and they had these little controllers, and you could sit there at your on your black and white TV in the basement and play games until your fingers fell off, and my friends all did. And I didn't. Got to be completely honest with you. I've never gotten the video game bug. Can't stand them. For one reason and one reason only. I can't figure out the controllers. I mean, they're really cool, especially the ones they've got now. It's like you're in this new world. But I don't have the coordination or the memory to remember exactly what button you push to do this and to do that. And I'd be playing, it would be my turn to play, and my friends would be standing behind me going, push A, go this way, push the, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. You know, I could never understand the controller. So I want to talk, let's go to Isaiah 58, I want to talk about that real quick. I'm going to read this, it's a little bit long, but I hope you stick with me here. Shout it out aloud and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and why have you not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and why have you not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Okay, I get the anger in the fists, because if there's anybody that ever gets hangry, I could see that coming to this. But God is talking to the nation of Israel, and what they're saying is, we did all the stuff. We got the controls. We pressed A, and we did this, and we plumb, blah, 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 and we didn't get anything. Why didn't you hear us? We did all this. We did everything the way we were supposed to do it. We followed the formula. But their video controller for God didn't work. You see, one of the things that we do when we're starting to act in a way to get something from God is that we think we're controlling God, that God's in a box. That's why I get, you know, so there are churches that say, you know what, if you tithe, if you do this, if you give me this, if you send in $1,000, I'm going to send you a towel that I touched and sweated on, and it's going to bless your finances, and you're going to get a tenfold return because you did what God told you to do. Please don't buy towels. Please don't fall for that. And we do it in our own ways. We all do it. We do things that we think are going to elicit a response from God in a way that we want. We do not have the remote control for God. Fasting is not a way to get what you want from God. And that's exactly what the Israelites were doing. They're saying, look, we did this. We fasted. We did all these wonderful things. And yet you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and God's calling him on it. God rebukes him. He says, look, it's time to act godly. Stop beating up your people because you're fasting in order to get something out of God. Let's finish with Isaiah 6 through 8. It is not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and is it not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. God does promise blessings. If we're obedient to him, if we're following him, if we are seeking him, and fasting is one of those ways. But the blessings that he gives us is not a Rolls Royce. And there's no formula. God's blessings may be in this world. They may be in the world to come. Well, I know they're going to be there. But the blessings of God are a relationship with our Creator that no one can break. God chooses how he'll bless us. Jesus tells us the exact same thing in Matthew. He's saying, don't do it for a reason. Don't do it for a show. He's actually quoting Isaiah here with these folks. And he's saying, stop thinking that you're going to get something out of God because you're doing the right thing. Do the right thing to seek a relationship with your Creator, a deepening walk with your God. And that's your blessing. And do it in a way that honors God. I always say that the top three things that we need to do to, you know, if people ask me what their purpose in the world are, why they're here, number one reason is to please and glorify God. So in the midst of that, and that's always, that's a gut check for us, is what I'm doing connecting in a way that, to other people, in a way that pleases and glorifies God, or is it not? Now, I'm guessing that these people that are going around angry and beating each other with fists and getting in a fight and beating on their servants are probably not honoring God. But God says, instead, you're not eating. Give your food to somebody who is. Help those that need. Go out and reach and share the love of Christ with somebody that needs it. Take that time not only to connect with God, but to connect with the people around you. That's what fasting is all about. Amen? All right. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for blessing us today with your word. Lord, we just ask that you please help us to see ways that we can grow closer to you, that we can love each other, that we can bring honor and glory to you in all that we do. Father, fasting is not easy. It's not a comfortable thing. It is a sacrifice to step aside from the things that sustain us for a while so that we can go to the one that sustains us. Please bless us this day. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.